I love the turning of pages. I love that sound. Some of you want to read that? If you're there, you go for it.
When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is happy.
So this is a two-part series on vision. Vision is a funny thing. Some people have it, some people want it. Some people don't want it. Some people don't care what vision is. Some people, I can go on and on and on. Vision is an important thing. Some of us do it maybe 50% of the time. A lot of us do it 100% of the time, but we have a vision for our life, right? I'm reminded of a story I heard a long time ago about an elders meeting at the church one evening. There were three elders sitting around the table with the pastor, and the pastor had received this vision from God, and he was explaining it to his elders and saying that they should initiate this vision into the church. And after it was all said and done, and the pastor had passionately prayed out and spoken out his vision, the vote was taken, and the lead elder spoke up and said, "Well, pastor, the vote is 3-1. You're outvoted. It's late, so let's go home. Let's close in prayer." So the pastor, not wanting to give up that easily, not wanting to not get his vision across to his board, he prayed a very lengthy prayer. And in the prayer, he fought for the Lord's vision, which he thought was the Lord's vision. At the moment when he's about to close, all of a sudden, a lightning bolt came through the window and struck the table in half, and all those who were present that day went flying. And the main elder stood up and he looked at the pastor and he said, "The vote is still 3-2, pastor, you lose." Now our board isn't like that. We have an amazing board. You guys have always had an amazing board who've looked with vision in their hearts. Have always looked. But we have to continue vision, and we have to continue vision for our church. And you're wondering why I'm bouncing this Super Bowl. This could be a nervous tick, but it's not. But if you're paying attention, right? I gave you warning, if you're paying attention. If you're paying attention, right? And I throw you the ball. Whoops. But you have to pay attention, right? So if I bounce it to you, right, you almost got it. Vision is kind of like the ball, right? Here's vision. Sometimes we can see the vision and sometimes we can't. But if we see the vision, we have to catch the vision. We have to implant it in our hearts. This morning I've titled my message, "Vision When Everything Seems to Go Wrong." And it seems like sometimes, and I can say this truthfully in our life, it seems like it's one thing after another. It keeps going wrong, right? I don't know why, but I do know that I still see the vision and I still have the vision. And that I haven't given up on the vision. There are a lot of people in our society who have no vision for our lives, their families, or their church. And they totally believe that it's up to them to do whatever they want. And every now and then they'll check in with God. This message is not only for our church, but it's for you as an individual. That you catch what God has, not only for you, but for our church. Someone described their godly vision this way. It's like the soft notes in a song. It is seeing the world through God's eyes and seeing the delight he takes in having us as his children. God delights in having us as his children. He loves us immensely. Because we can see the physical, right? If I said, this is your vision, this is vision, we can see it. But it takes something special for us to dig deeper down inside spiritually to hear from God, to see when you cannot see, right? When you can't see this. And when you only have to and can trust in God. And how important that is, and how much joy God gets when we take that vision, the vision he's given to you and me. This morning I want to talk to us specifically about what it means to have a vision, what it takes to get that vision, and finally, what do we do after we have that vision? Because 29:18 in another version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And we don't want to perish. I want to simply give you this morning what God has continued to give me. That we as a church need to reach people for Jesus Christ. That is just plain and simple. It's pure and simple. My vision hasn't changed. There are many different kinds of churches in our community. Each has the ability to reach certain people who are living in our community. But we are all called to do the same thing as churches, right? We may be called to do it in a different way, but we are all called to reach our world for Jesus Christ. We're all called to do that. You see, the vision should be always the same, with maybe just a tweak here or there in how we do that. You see, God has always shown me that man shouldn't rule this church, but the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. That if we focus on God, if we focus on the Holy Spirit, and that we focus on him, that no one will try and take over the church. That it won't be run by men, it will be run by God. And that tradition won't run the church. Because tradition keeps us from following Jesus Christ some of the time. Tradition is good, but if that's our only focus, then it takes us away from God. And then finally, you know, we're crazy. We do things differently sometimes. Amy and I are just kind of crazy couple, aren't we, honey? All these years, 40 years, and they still love her, right? 40 years and we still love Jesus. 40 years we're still doing ministry for Jesus. 40 years we haven't lost the vision. 40 years we've continued to move on. You see, you have that same thing deep down inside of you. Even if you're not a couple or you are a couple or you're a single or however it is, you have a vision from God. God has given you a vision to live out in your life. And he uses that vision. He uses that vision within the body of Christ here. He uses that vision so that what you have can complement along with what the church is doing. Why do we do these things, right? Well, we do it because we want to reach our community. We want to reach the people within our community. I look at the churches within our community. And except for the Mormons, because I've talked to the different pastors, and you know, some are growing slowly, others are struggling, and it's no different. But the only church, and I'll just call it a church for a second, they're really wards, are the Mormons. They just keep building buildings and buildings and buildings. And you wonder why people will become a part of a cult. Will become a part of something like that. I had to ask God because I was shocked. I looked at the demographics and I say, why do they just keep growing and growing and growing and growing?
They're
Yeah, they're born into it. That, ooh, yeah, that was from God right there. I love that. They're born into it. Their natural thing is to reach people for Jesus. Why? Because they're born into it. And now young ladies too. Right? Can you imagine if I said, well, all the young guys who come out of high school or whatever age we chose, you now have to take a year off and do missions work. But
and not where God tells you to go, but where they tell you to go.
Right. But see, here's they excel at something that we should excel at. The Mormons excel at something we as the body of Christ should excel at. That's reaching people. They give a lie, but people believe it. You know why? Because they reach their needs. If you knock on it, when the Mormons come knock on your door, right, the two guys, they will say, what can we help you with today? Mm-hmm. Right? That's the first thing. What can we help you with today? I am really tempted to say, will you mow my lawn and pill my weeds?
And they'll do it.
You are right. Will you pick up all my leaves? Right? And if I asked them, they would do it without blinking, whether you were doing it to harm them or not. Maybe. I can remember a few years ago when we were moving Rebecca from one apartment to another apartment, and the Mormons came along, and we only had a few of us, and literally, her place was full of junk. I mean, it was stacked to the ceiling everywhere. And we're going to be here for like 3 days. And the two Mormon guys came along, and he says, can we help you? You know, I wasn't trying to take advantage of them. I said, yeah. I know we have limit as a church, but God is calling us to go deeper. God is calling us to reach our community. How do we reach people? How do we be more intentional in our community? Write this down. I need to be more intentional. It's not in your notes. I should have put it up on PowerPoint, but we need to continually asking God to give us intentional vision. What do I mean by that? And we need to be asking God how we are doing and if he wants us to do something different, to reach people in a different way, or to talk to people in a different way, or how you communicate with your neighbors and friends. How does our next door neighbors who live across the street from us, his name is Kevin, and I can't remember her name, but I only remember his name's Kevin because Kevin lives next to us. But I talked to him. He doesn't like to talk long, right? Because I don't think he smokes cigarettes, and his wife, I don't think, allows him to smoke in the house. So he comes out front, and so I'll go, if I see him and I'm there, I'll go over and talk to him for a little bit. But 9 times out of 10, he'll only take a couple puffs, he'll throw it on the ground and say, see ya, all right? I don't know. He knows that I'm a pastor, and I'm sure he doesn't. But you know what he does do? When he's in his truck and he's driving, he always waves. So I make sure he knows that I see him and that I'm waving, right? Our next door neighbor on the other side, Kevin and Mary. Now, very much more intentional, because he'll sit there and talk forever, right? And so we talk. And see, being intentional in our outreach, in what we do. The Hebrew translation for vision means divine communication. You see, when you're in your daily time with God and you're asking him, God, what do you have for me today? You may change your words and say, what vision do you have for me today, God? What would you like for me to do today? How can I help out today? This year has, like I said, has been one that I never thought that we would have to go through. Roger actually was the one who asked me, probably, I don't know, last March or April or May, somewhere in there. He said, "What's our vision for this year?" You know what I said? Survival. Because that's what we were doing. As a family, surviving. Right? Yeah, and that's what? Yep, surviving. Right? For, you know, Amy, you know, Amy's had, you know, fibromyalgia and psoriatic arthritis for so long, and she's been hurting so long, and you know, Amy and I are just trying to keep everything going. And then on, you know, we were at the service in the park when Zach found out he had cancer. It was a tough day, but we kept going because we knew that God had it. He told Zach that he has this to keep going. It was overwhelming sometimes. 79 days in the hospital, 29 days in ICU. I mean, running back and forth, trying to keep two households, one in Seattle going and one here, trying to keep the church going, right? We were surviving. And I appreciate you being there with us every step of the way and surviving along with us. It was overwhelming. But you see, we continued to put our faith in God no matter what was going on in our life. We continued to grasp our strength from God and Jesus Christ no matter what was going on. Some have come and gone. Some have moved. You know, we're going to miss the parks immensely. You know, we go like, what's happening? Well, we're surviving. That was a great answer, Missy. We're surviving. We're trying to do what God's will is. We're trying to do what's right. We're trying to move forward. I think that God has brought us deeper together, right? He's brought us closer to him. He's brought us closer together as a church. We're a tight-knit family. Loving one another. Helping one another. Being there. And there's one thing that I heard God say to me. Even when everything is at its worst, I'm still there for you. See, Lisa's got a cyst the size of this right here, right? On her kidney. God has got this, right? How are we going to reach people? Well, we all have stories, right? We need to give them our story. We need to tell them about what God has done for us and how he's gotten us through this or that. Or people like stories. Reaching people just means that sometimes we're there to help them. Other times we're there to talk with them. Sometimes we're there to give them hugs. Sometimes we're whatever God has for you. Right? I shared this a couple months ago, but God had a vision for me one day. Is when, like I said, I walked into Walmart to get a couple things and get boxes so that we could fill boxes full of food to give to the Spanish church, right? All the lanes were full, people were lined up, except for that one cashier. And I'll tell you this story over and over again. That was a divine intervention. That was a vision God had laid out for me to talk to that cashier. Because she only charged me for one box. I looked down at my receipt, and I noticed she only charged me for one box. So I went back. All the lines are full. Guess who's standing there? All by herself. I walked back, and I said, "You only charged me for one box. You should have charged me for 10. And she goes, "What?" I said, "You need to charge me for 9 more." And she says, "Why did you do that? Why didn't you just walk out the door?" Because I said, "I'm different. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And we do things differently." And I invited her to church. She didn't come. But that was my vision, because who knows, right? Who knows? That was what God had for me that day. God had that laid out for me. In Scripture, if you want to turn to the book of Esther, you can. I'm only going to use a small part of that, but I want to give you an example. Esther was one of the most prominent women in the entire Bible. God used her to save his people from the evils of Haman. If you remember the story, Haman was a powerful man in Babylon, and he wanted to kill every Jew. Many people recognize Esther, but they don't recognize her cousin Mordecai. Mordecai was older than Esther. Mordecai had raised up Esther because she was an orphan. These were hard times. The Jews had been exiled to Babylon. They weren't in their homeland. They were captives under King Xerxes. And through a strange turn of events, we don't know, when things go a certain way, sometimes they're God, right? King Xerxes needed a new queen. He was in search for a wife. He wanted the most beautiful woman in the whole kingdom, right? We know the story. Esther was the winner. When her cousin Mordecai found out, he told her not to tell the king that she was a Jew. At the same time that Esther was being considered, Mordecai, the cousin, was refusing to bow down to Haman because Haman was one of the most powerful guys in the kingdom other than the king, and he was requiring everybody to, when he walked by, to bow down before him, right? But Haman, as he came upon Mordecai, Mordecai wouldn't bow down before him. And that made Haman angry. In fact, he devised a plan to kill all the Jews. And while this was going on, Esther was chosen for queen, as queen for Xerxes. At the same time, Mordecai learned about Haman's plan, and that plan was to kill all the Jews. He was going to hang them all. He was building this amazing big gallows so he could hang all the Jews. So Haman went to King Xerxes, and he said, "Man, the Jews are troublemakers. Let me just do something with them. Let's get them out of here. You don't need them here. We'll be fine." But God had a bigger plan, didn't he? God had a bigger vision. Mordecai knew that God was bigger than this king, that God was bigger than Haman. And so God gave Mordecai a plan. Mordecai knew that the king would listen to Esther. And so he sent a message to Esther. He says, "You need to go before the king and you need to let him know that this plan is in motion and that if he allows Haman to kill all the Jews, then you're going to die too." In Esther 4:11, it says this, "And all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but just one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is the king, is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days had passed since I was called to go to the king." Can you imagine Esther? She knew she was risking her life to go before the king. She also knew that if she didn't, all her people would die. It's amazing how God uses people. God reminded her that if she didn't, she would die. And that he also reminded her that she was there for a special purpose. Listen, when you are at your lowest and Satan is trying to tell you that you are worthless, that's when God is there telling you, you are the greatest creation. You are his greatest creation. You are. When things are at its worst and you can't understand what else could go wrong, and then it does, right? You sit there and ask God, why? I've done that a few times. Look what Mordecai told Esther. He said, "And who knows but that you have come to that royal position for such a time as this." You are here for such a time as this. Somebody say amen. Come on. You were here for such a time as this. You see, Mordecai had a vision. God had given him a vision. He trusted God enough to act on that vision. And he doesn't stop telling her what would happen. He plants this vision inside of her. See, God is planting a vision inside of us. We need to be born into it, just like the worm. They're born into it. When you became a new creation, when you accepted Jesus Christ, God has a vision for your life. That vision was to do amazing things for him. Amazing things that you'd never done before, right? You see, as we begin our week of prayer, here we are. We're just like the Jews. King Esther said, "Okay, Mordecai, I'm going to do this, but you said, this is what I'd like you to do. I would like you to fast and pray." And so the Jews fasted and prayed. They were obedient. Write that word down in your notes. Obedient. They were obedient. They fasted and they prayed. And you know the end of the story, right? Haman was hung on the same gallows that was meant for all the Jews in Mordecai. Why? Because God listened and God had a plan, and it was God's vision that the Jews not be wiped out or slaughtered, because we know the plan. The plan would eventually lead to Jesus Christ, right? Coming as a baby and dying on a cross for all mankind. And see, and God still installs visions in us. And he still gives us amazing things to do. You see, I believe that God is going to bless us like he's never done before, that if we stay faithful and we stick to the vision, and here's the key, if we are obedient, right, that God is going to bring us out of survival, and he's going to bring us into a new place. That's why God buries visions within us. That's why he's there. That's why sometimes you get a dream in the middle of the night and you don't even know what it is. Zach had a dream a couple weeks ago about how we were living in a new house and how it was up on a hill, right? And it overlooked, and that was gonna be a great place. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, maybe, you know, more people say, oh, that was just a vision, right? And then Amy had a vision about a house, right? Except there were, and it was the government, right, who was trying to take the land next to our house, right? And they wanted to put in a new road, and they wanted to do this. But you know what was happening? Was that if they put that road in, then our house would crumble. And she know what she was doing? She was fighting the government. You know what she's doing? She's fighting the enemy. We have to fight the enemy. We have to stand up and say, listen, Satan, you have no power and you have no authority. Not only in my own life, but in our church. Because you see, the original plan is that we have a new house. But we have to fight for it. We have to pray for it. We have to be strong in it. What does it take? What does it mean to have a new vision? It means that God puts that desire in your heart. You see, sometimes we just want to give up, or we just don't want to put effort. But God is calling us today to put in more effort than we ever have before. God is giving us that vision. He's renewing the vision inside of us. Think about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul. Saul had a vision, right? That vision was to kill all the Christians. But one day, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And what happened? He became Paul. And he had a new vision. And that vision was to reach his world for Jesus Christ. Right? You see, catching it means that we have to be spiritually awake, right? We have to be spiritually awake, listening to the presence of the Holy Spirit within us so that we can be on the same plane. We can see what God's given you will complement what God is doing in the body of Christ. We're catching it. We're owning it. We are being born into it. We're being intentional. We're doing intentional outreach. Because what it takes to get that vision, it means that we have to go above and beyond. You have a special calling in your life. I don't know what that is. You have to know what that is. And you have to live that out. You must seek the heart of God in your life. And it isn't a one-time prayer thing. It's a continually praying. Because, Joni, if I came up to you and I said, will you loan me $50? I know that you don't have $50 to loan. But if I asked you once, and I never came back to you and asked you for $50, you would have just thought, well, he doesn't need $50. But if you had $50, and I asked you over and over again, could you please loan me $50? You'd give it to me. Is God any different? God hears it. Sometimes it's no. I know you're going, oh, wait, Pastor. God says no, so yes, he does. But we can't give up asking. And if it is no, so be it. But if it's yes, see, this week when we're praying and you're praying and I gave you a whole bunch of stuff, right? How to pray. And when we come together on Saturday, we're just going to put prayer needs out, and we're going to basically pray through this and pray. If you want the deeper one, you see, for you to do it, to get involved, to be inspired, I've given you tools to do that. You just need to use the tools. And many of you, you know what? You've been walking with Jesus a long time. You should already have that in place. And if you do, just go deeper. That's my prayer. Just go deeper. Let's get into it. Let's catch the vision. Let's get intentional. Let's trust God. Let's pursue Him. Let's take the time to pray and ask Him and accomplish the things He's giving us. Because after we get the vision, He's told us, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. We can do all things. You see, here's vision when things are going wrong, right? Seem to be going wrong. Is when there's one kid in children's church today. Listen, vision is we're taking care of that one child. Whether there's one or there's 50. Come on. Right? Because she's important. Her little soul is important to God. I know it's a she because it's Riley. Right? Exactly. And Doug and Barb are pumping her full of Jesus Christ. You see, vision, continuing on, or we're cleaning the church when you're like, it doesn't look dirty. It doesn't matter. It's God's house. We take care of God's house, don't we? You need to come help Gail and Larry. I love to see them on Thursday. They're here doing their thing. Larry's in here vacuuming, you know. I can see him going, smile on his face. How about vision to go to Prosser, right? Roger and I go to Prosser for Laura. Laura's been praying for the people at that facility, you know, the apartment complex she's in. It's a seniors or low income. She wants to reach all them for Jesus Christ. She's got a lady. I told you about her. Her name's Joyce. They're not here today because Joyce got sick. Stupid enemy, right? She couldn't believe that there was such a place where people could love her just for her. Come on. Well, why would you go for one person? Because one or two people are worth it. Why would we do this? Because, well, whatever it is, it's worth it, right? What about working our coffee cart? You know, why do we do it? Why do we give away free coffee? And maybe we should put up an espresso machine and charge for it like all the other churches do. If it works for them, it works for them. There are some churches, they have their own restaurant. Big churches. So you go to church, you have your coffee before, and afterwards you go have lunch in the big restaurant. Cafeteria. That would be kind of cool. No, they make you pay for it, but... One of the fastest growing churches right now, they're called dinner churches. It's where people come, you invite people for dinner. You play a couple acoustical songs while people are eating. And then someone gets up and shares a motivational message. And as you plant that and you begin, then you go deeper and deeper and deeper, right? As people stay and stay. It's an amazing concept. See, what God has for us is just for us to stay committed, to be obedient, to keep asking, to believe, to have faith, to continue to walk with Jesus, to get as close as possible as we can. Because I am convinced that God has prepared all of us here this morning, just like Esther, for such a time as this. Statistics show that 3/4 of all churches in America have either leveled off in reaching new people for Jesus or are declining in their ability to do so. Statistics show that 3/4 of all churches in America have either leveled off in reaching new people for Jesus or are declining in their ability to do so. In the Tri-Cities, the salvation rate is just barely 2%. So basically, when you see the Christian community is just moving around from church to church, one will get big and then it declines. This is what I've been praying for our church. My biggest vision, I'm going to close with this, my biggest vision, you guys come on up and we'll close with a good, good father. Can you do that, please? So come on up. I've been praying for a long time, even as we were going through everything that we are going through, for God and how he would bring us to a new place. And I really fully believe that before this year is out, we shall see God moving like he's never moved before. Sometimes we say we can't do this or we can't do that because we're too small. I think that sometimes all we have to do is make giant steps of faith and God will be right beside us. But we have to stop saying we can't. We have to start saying we can. We can. With God, we can. With God, we can do all things. With God, we can. By ourselves, we can't. But with God, we can. Reminded of a story of a man who had done something wonderful, and the king called him in and told him he could mark off as much kingdom as he wanted. And it would be his. So the man took his staff in his hand and he drew a circle around himself. And the king said, "Is that all you want?" And he said, "Yeah, I want all of that." Sometimes we just need to ask God, we want and desire for you to act on our behalf for all of that. Amen. Hey, could you stand this morning if you can? You see, Jabez looked beyond where he was to where God was. And he looked beyond what he could do and placed his vision upon what God could do. We can't be content. We have to be strong. And we have to ask God. And we cannot stop asking God. We have to continue to ask God. Come on up. Lisa, I want...